Are you saying this on your own? Or has someone been telling you about me? That's the question of Jesus to Pilate. Are you saying this on your own? Have you come to some belief? Or are you just repeating the rumors, the speculation, the gossip that you might be hearing? You know, as Pilate is standing there with Jesus before him, he finds himself in a bit of a conundrum. He's trying to figure out exactly who it is or what it is Jesus is claiming to be. He's trying to figure out why they're hauling him before his presence. Because we well know, Pilate had no interest in placing Jesus on trial. But it kind of gets back to this whole thing about what was the role of the king there in the first place. Because we know that for the most part, when people think of kings and kingdoms, they're thinking of earthly rulers, earthly realms. Now, Pope Benedict, in one of his writings, points out that God never willed for Israel to have a king. It was out of their moaning and their complaining and their stiff-necked obstinacy that God gave them a king. You know, sometimes God does give us what we ask for, even if it isn't what He wants for us. Because sometimes God will use that as a way of teaching us. So anyway, Israel gets a king. Who was the king supposed to be? The king was supposed to be the law. That was to be the rule of life for the people of Israel. Kind of those guideposts that you stay in to remain in right relationship with God and right relationship with the community. It was an epic fail, though. They couldn't do it. They, in their mind, wanted something like the other nations, the other tribes around them that they encountered. And that was, they wanted an authority. A visible, earthly authority. They wanted a king. So God gave them Saul. He was okay for a while, but an epic fail by most standards. Then David, great king, but far from perfect, got steeped in his own sin. And so was the story with king after king after king after king. They wanted it because they wanted someone to guide them, to lead them. But what became very clear was they all had their fallibility. They all had their shortcomings. They all had their sins, as any human being would. And so where did Jesus come on the scene? The God who draws straight with crooked lines brought Christ on. You see, I think a lot of times our image of God is often like He's the grandmaster of a video game, manipulating the players, causing us to do the things that are supposed to be. It's not true. We have free will. In some sense, we have some control over our own destiny. We can say yes to God or no. No, God's not like this grandmaster of a video game, manipulating. I prefer to look at God as more like my GPS. You ever program your GPS to get from here to there? And you know, sometimes I'll see what the GPS tells me what to do. And most of the times, if I'm smart, I will follow what it tells me to do because it tends to know more than I do. But every so often I'll say, boy, this is a different route. I don't know why it's doing this. This way is much shorter. And so I'll make the turn to take the shortcut that I know is much more concise of a trip that obviously the GPS hasn't mapped out, and maybe I'll teach it so that it won't make this mistake again. And sure enough, most of the time when I do that, I'll make my turn. only to find there's an accident and traffic's backed up, or there's just a lot of traffic and I'm sitting there, and then eventually you'll hear the GPS say something like, recalculating, getting me back onto the path that I was supposed to be on. In many ways, that's what God did with the people of Israel. He kept writing the course. And ultimately, when we look at Jesus, Jesus became the king because they wouldn't embrace the law. They wouldn't embrace their kings. They said, maybe they'll embrace my son. And he offers himself to us as Lord and King. The full title of today's feast is Our Lord Jesus Christ, King of the Universe. That's not a lofty title, is it? But it's basically saying he is King, he is Lord over everything, over all things. You know, sometimes we struggle with that, particularly those of us who may have a little bit of problem with control. It's about relinquishing control, giving accessibility. Some of you may have had people over for the holidays. Often, when we have people coming to the house, we try to clean things up, straighten them up a little bit, to at least put on the veneer that things are fairly clean and tidy, right? And when they're not, what do to those rooms? You close the door. You don't keep the closet doors open. You close them. You tell your children, clean the room. You go up to check on them 5 minutes before everybody gets there. It's like, I told you to clean your room. I did. It doesn't look it. So what's the plan B? Close the door. Seal it off. Don't put it on display. But you see, when we invite Christ into our lives, if we're really answering his call to let him be king of all, it's about letting him have access to every aspect of our lives. And that can be a little scary. It puts us in a position of vulnerability, doesn't it? Because sometimes we think that we could do it better, or we've got it under control, or I can get through this, I don't need God's help. But think about it. My challenge to you today is to, as we get ready for Advent, to look at what are those things that you need to let go of. It may be a relationship that you just have not given over to God and it's so strained, or there's hurt. It could be a wound that needs healing and you just kind of let it fester rather than expose it to the healing that needs to take place. It might be a concern. It might be something that you're just carrying on, a burden. But the Lord's saying, let me carry it with you, and you're like, I can trudge along. Or even worse, I guess this is the way it is. It's not going to get any better. But what does Jesus say? Let me be king. Let me be master of the domain. Take your cares and cast them upon me. You see, each of those things that we have control over and we don't relinquish control of, it's like we're putting the crown on our own heads and saying, I'm the king of this. I'm the monarch. I'm calling the shots. We ask the same question Jesus asked Pilate. Are you saying this on your own? Are you saying that I'm the king? Or are you just repeating what somebody else has said? Because when we come to the point of acknowledging Jesus Christ as king, it's about taking the crowns that we've placed upon our own head and casting them off, and recognizing the crown that is his. He who is Lord, he who is master, he who is king. Giving him access to every aspect of our lives, every room of our hearts, every dimension of all that we do. It's about bringing Jesus from the peripheries and bringing him to the center. Just like when you receive him in Holy Communion, we place our hands out, if we're receiving on the hand, and we lift them up as a throne to receive the King. We receive him into our lives, into our hearts, literally into our bodies, body, blood, soul, and divinity. And we become
one with that King and heirs to His kingdom. You see, folks, they were looking for an earthly kingdom. And Jesus told them and tells us so much, stop looking for it here in this world. It's in your heart. It's in your life. It's in your soul. That's where God wants to plant His kingdom. We just have to ask ourselves, what part of our life haven't we given Him reign over yet? Amen.